Yes, Mr. Trump, Don Lomas, WSBC, how do you feel?
I'll tell you how I feel, Don. First of all, thank you. I feel great, and I feel invigorated, because I know of two people that have a show that's great, unlike the Oscars, okay? We're going to make America great again, and if you want a great America, listen to these two guys coming up next, the Hoolies. Yeah, 12:40 a.m. WSBC. Yes. Welcome to another episode of The Hoolies Hoolie. We're back. Joining us again this week, Clay O'Brien, back from his sickness, is here. Welcome, Clay.
Thank you.
Bill, how are you? The beard's still going, looking good, looking strong, looking burly.
Yep.
Looking American.
American, huh? The beard makes me American?
Some people would say that you have things to hide. I'd say that you look like you're ready to get to work.
You're ready to climb a tree.
You're ready to cut lumber. Make it great again. Cut the lumber.
Okay.
Cut the fat. Get rid of the mopes.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. So we've survived Super Tuesday, and
it's gonna be me.
It certainly appears that way, that it's gonna be the two of you. Oh man.
It's gonna be just so much fodder. If it's Trump and Hillary, holy moly, is this gonna be? I mean, this is going to be some fun stuff to listen to.
I will say right now, if it becomes those two, some sort of a third party, I think, will emerge.
It's going to be something like the scene in Uncle Buck where he's telling off the principal and the mole on her face.
It's going to be that for 8 months.
Every debate.
Oh. Right.
Man, I don't know. We had a lively week. Lots of stuff happened. We had the Oscars go down. We had Super Tuesday.
Yeah.
Conor McGregor is making waves.
He's fighting. Alive. He's fighting tonight.
Yep, that's
so
right.
I mean, what time is that fight? We're on right now. It's 7 o'clock, and he's fighting at what? Like, is it
2 hours?
No, I thought it was late. I thought it was like midnight.
It'll be late because you got Holly Holm fighting first.
Yeah, so I thought he wasn't fighting until around midnight.
It'll be a 11:30-ish type of deal.
Yeah, who's hopefully Holly Holm fighting? Misha Tate, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I like that name.
Hopefully McGregor's fight will be from 11:30 to 11:31.
Well, that's how he wants it to go down.
Did you guys watch the Oscars at all?
Yeah.
What'd you think?
It. Almost in its entirety for once in my life.
And, really? One of the crappiest Oscars, I thought, in a long
time.
It
was really bad. Yeah.
There was some cool stuff about it. I think when Dave Grohl played Blackbird and did that tribute to all the people that had died, that was kind
of
cool.
It's always the best part of the Oscars, the in memoriam section, where they remember all the guys who passed. They left a lot of big guys out, man. No props for Dennis Farina. No props for Farina.
None. Wow, you're
Abe
right.
Abe Vigoda, nothing.
Disrespect.
You're right. Maybe they'll get him next year.
No.
They have to, right?
No.
It's too late. It's garbage.
No turning back.
It's a race-baiting, crap TV show. Forget about it. Joe Biden, the vice president of our country, who's supposed to be looking after our money, our funds, our people, is showing up to the Oscars because he's worried about abused children. Worried.
Oh, wow.
That's how I feel. Garbage show. Completely garbage. Complete propaganda garbage. Goodbye.
Not as good as the Miss America pageant, huh?
No, because that's balanced and fair and even. It's just hot or not, one or the other. Uh-huh. Done.
Or anything you're in, Donald.
Yeah.
Anything I'm in is good.
You could do a Ho-Ho's commercial.
My steaks are good.
I saw the steaks thing. That's hilarious.
They're the best.
He has steaks?
He does have steaks.
I do have steaks.
He did have steaks.
Better than Omaha steaks or better than anything.
Getting back to the Oscars, I thought that, here's that one thing. I never knew that Mad Max Road of Fury, or whatever it was called, was one of the greatest films ever made, apparently.
Miller, the director, underappreciated, always been outside the Hollywood system, but that movie is pretty rad, I have to admit. Have you seen it?
Yeah. No, I mean, my roommate said he saw it. He was like, I wasn't that impressed. But
yeah.
Special effects, he says, is really cool.
It's like amazing. You can watch the movie. It's one of those films that you can sort of watch. If there were no dialogue, it's a piece of art.
I guess that's kind of the way that he described it. He's like, in one scene, there was a guy. Like they have all these crazy like automobiles or modes of transportation because it's supposed to be the future or whatever. But there's one scene in the movie where I guess like they're being chased by a guy like strapped to a car or like what or like some sort of a motor vehicle where he's playing electric guitar while like people are like trying to shoot at him.
Yeah,
it's very weird. But cool. I mean,
it's Mad Max.
I guess it's yeah. He's like, I didn't get it, and I was like, I don't think you're supposed to get it.
I think that's how Conor McGregor is going to be entering the ring. He's going to come in on a big wheel of some sort.
Rolls Royce. It's my Rolls Royce.
Yeah. Did you see the clip of Conor McGregor showing up? It was courtesy. I might play that later.
That was better than anything I saw in the Oscars. That clip of him going to the fans' house.
It was.
That was amazing.
That was pretty cool. I thought the other thing was, you know, where he talks about his you know, his homeland
Ireland.
Yeah,
that
clip is really cool too. All that was trending this week on
it just goes to show Facebook. You how much, you know, it really is kind of an act and that sort of thing. And
right.
You have
right.
to be.
You
know,
he's a normal guy.
He's real normal.
He is. He's just violent.
I don't think he is violent.
I thought that DiCaprio gave a pretty good acceptance speech.
Yep.
That was pretty classy, you know, and he did talk about, you know, global warming and the effects of that film that, you know, that it had on him and, you know, opened his eyes to a lot of cool things.
Yeah, historically, the Oscars have always been a stage or an opportunity or an opportunist moment for a celebrity to make a political statement.
Remember, he's probably got 16 chimneys in his house.
I guess the greatest political statement ever was when Brando didn't show up to the awards and sent an American Indian woman in his place to accept it. And see, that's what's funny. She was booed then, all right? But the sort of wheel of the political spectrum in this country has shifted so much that if something like that happened now, people would go absolutely bananas and go, he's a genius. It's the most wonderful thing in the world.
He's John Lennon.
Yeah.
But so that's interesting to me. I mean, so
I didn't
know.
Think that Chris Rock did a very good job.
I didn't. Well, here's the thing. I don't think he really.
If you don't, you're racist.
No, I'm not.
No, but here's the thing. Like, he tried to poke a lot of fun at, you know, Will Smith and Jada Pinkett's, you know, displeasure for what was going on and, you know, what happened. But in hindsight, when I look at it, I'm like, well, Will Smith, you know what? He's got a little bit of a point. He's mad and he's boycotting. But, you know, I don't like, you know, obviously there was, you know, they try to play the race factor into it and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, as far as like Chris Rock, you know, I mean, you know, he's kind of making fun of Jada Pinkett saying like, you know, you didn't get invited anyways.
Right.
You know, and I was like, well, you don't have to. They're all artists and nobody wants to, you know, I mean, you don't want to knock her art because she disagrees with, you know, she's trying to make a statement about what happens at the Oscars. I don't know. I mean, I just
felt
like...
I just think it's silly for any celebrity to complain that they weren't nominated for an Academy Award. You know what I think is silly? That half of you mopes have careers and make billions of dollars a year, all right?
Yeah.
And you find a place to moan about it? Well, we're supposed to award you?
Well, yeah. He did make jokes about that, Chris Rock, about how everybody in the audience is rich.
Yeah,
you know,
and rightfully so.
I think the whole thing is becoming a joke for the most part. I don't think people take it. I don't take it seriously.
Well, I miss the days of when Billy Crystal showed up and did bits with like a cough drop in his mouth. That was a great bit. And then, you know, he'd show up dressed as Hannibal Lecter and things of that nature.
Yeah.
Like, there's just no more. There's none of that anymore. It's very safe. The show has become very, very safe.
It's too safe. It's too white.
I didn't even.
That's the safest as you. That's about as safe as you can get.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would. I guess you're right. I don't know,
but I mean, as far as like, I mean, performance. But here's the thing: I didn't see a lot of the movies that are out that were nominated.
Here's what I think too: if you play a guy that transform into a girl, you're automatically getting nominated.
Sure,
so
absolutely,
make a movie about that.
But I feel like that's always been
make a movie about a guy like the producers, like a riff on the you know, Bialystok and. The other guy, they're going to make a movie about, let's make a movie about a guy who's a transgender. If we get him an Oscar, everything will work out. And that's the idea.
Jimmy Kimmel did a bit.
The reality is that is the idea. That is what happens in Hollywood.
Right.
Jimmy Kimmel did a bit about
it. Was the joke where if you ever played a handicapped guy, you'd always get nominated for an Academy Award. So every actor in Hollywood, whenever new scripts came through the door, were always looking for those parts, you know?
Yeah, after like Sling Blade. And
Rain Man.
Right.
Things of that nature.
Gilbert Grape.
Yep. God, the list could go on.
What was the one? I Am Sam. Is that the one that
Stephen Hawking? He's playing Stephen Hawking. Nominated.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Albert Nobbs. He's playing an old Irish butler who's whatever. Nominated. Cross-gendered. Nominated.
Forrest Gump. Nominated.
That's what I want to see.
Gump. Give it to him.
Did Gump have a disability, though? They never really talk about Gump's disability.
What are you talking about? Didn't he have, like, the braces on his legs and everything? And, like,
no, he's just stupid.
Stupid is, stupid does, dude.
Well, Forrest Gump's just stupid.
Hey, he was...
You know what's not stupid?
He was smart enough
and
to handle...
really, 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 really good for you.
And delicious.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal, our presenting sponsor. And on that note, let's take a quick commercial break.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today. Available at your local grocery store.
Big Guy Sausage is located at 7021 Roosevelt Road in Berwyn, right across from DeJules. We serve blue-collar gourmet food. That means Italian sausage, Polish sausage, Chipotle sausage, bratwurst, hot dogs, burgers, Italian beef and sausage combos, prime rib sandwiches, bacon-wrapped cheddar brats. Hey, what else you want? We got it. You ain't gonna leave here hungry. We're right down the street from Fitzgerald's. Come on by Big Guy Sausage after the Hooli's Hooli or before. Or call 708-317-5213 and we'll have it delivered or ready for pickup. Ask anybody who eats here. It's awesome. Big Guy Sausage on Roosevelt Road in Berwyn. Big Guy Sausage, sorry, we don't serve weenies.
Come into my office, Mr. Finnegan. How can I help you?
Doctor, doctor, you gotta help me. I'm having panic attacks, terrible anxiety.
You just need some hooliganism.
Hooliganism? What is that, some new medicine?
It's an elixir for what ails you, Mr. Finnegan.
Is it a pill? Do you swallow it?
It'll relax you. Rick Hogan of WGN says it oozes Chicago. He also says it's fantastic.
But what the heck is it?
It's the new book by Mike Houlihan. Everyone's talking about it. Frank West of the Irish American News says it's filled with human warmth and you should read it when you need a good laugh.
Hooliganism, the book. Hey, my wife said you were a doctor.
I am a doctor, and hooliganism is my prescription. The New World said Southsiders would rank it up with the Book of Kells.
What about my irregularity?
Read Hooliganism. You'll find it very moving.
Hey, you're not a doctor.
I'm a psychiatrist, Mr. Finnegan, and I can tell what you need is a nice dose of hooliganism.
But my wife said you had her undress and you examined her.
Yes, she appears to be very healthy, Mr. Finnegan. Oh, nurse...
Hooliganism is the new book by Mike Houlihan. You can purchase it online at www.mikehoolihan.com or at any of Chicago's finer Irish gift shops.
Nurse, will the doctor be giving me a prescription for hooliganism?
Do you have insurance, Mr. Finnegan?
I've been hooliganed.
Don't get hooliganed, 1240 a.m. WSBC. This is the Hooli's Hooli. Welcome back to another week of fun, and I guess we're just going to just attack everything this week.
Attack it. Yeah.
How was everybody else's week? Clay, you were a little under the weather last week. We missed you.
Yeah, I had, I don't know what was going on, but I came home from work on Wednesday, and I rested my eyes for a minute, and I woke up, and it was like 2:30 in the morning.
I rested my eyes. That's something that the kids in high school used to say when they were caught sleeping in class. What are you doing? I'm just resting my eyes, teacher. I'm just resting my eyes.
I used to just, I remember, I
you're
used to,
sleeping,
I remember
sir.
At Carmel freshman year, I had Miss Vaccaro in algebra.
Yeah,
and it was my homeroom, and we were on the first floor, and of course, you'd get in there in the winter. I mean, these old radiated heaters, by 9:15, there'd be like 15 minutes left of class or whatever.
Snooze mode.
I'd be like, and I'd get the whack.
The audience can't see you.
Or she'd yell, and I would always say, I'm resting my eyes. But after a while, I think by the time I was a senior or something like that would happen, I'd go, it's like 200 degrees in here.
And smelly.
Smelly, of course.
Lots of unshowered people.
We were at the all-boys school. Everybody wasn't with the down with the hot and soapy every morning.
You smell like a locker room to both of you right now.
Do we? Well, it doesn't matter if you're in the old country with no snakes or the city of big shoulders. We live in a world full of terrible smells like skunks and sports gear, baby diapers and cigarette smoke, unshowered CTA riders, and worse. So when the stink gets too strong, turn to the power of Freshwave natural odor eliminators. Freshwave products eliminate odors without the use of toxic chemicals or masking fragrances. Inside, you'll find plain old oils and water, naturally destroying bad smells at a molecular level. Freshwave is safe to use anytime, anywhere, or on any odor imaginable, including smelly high school boys. So ditch those air fresheners of harsh ingredients and phony floral smells. Choose odor eliminators from Freshwave. Available at Bed Bath Beyond, Ace Hardware, Whole Foods, and the Container Store. To learn more about FreshWave and to find your nearest FreshWave retailer, visit FreshWaveWorks.com today. Boom.
Yeah, all right.
Nice.
Molecular.
Yeah.
Molecular level.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's a tough one.
We're going to have to record that and just start dropping that one in.
Yeah.
Instead of reading that one. But yeah, if you got stinky stuff in your house, get some Fresh Wave.
Fresh Wave all over the joint. I'd like to read that once, maybe.
Sure.
Okay.
You can read it later in the show if our listening audience is keen and down to it again.
All right. We'll
give it two different shots.
Conor McGregor's going to need that after his fight.
Some Fresh Wave?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I'm thinking, I asked you guys earlier, if he loses, God forbid.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Irish Jesus would let that happen, but if that does happen, would you still be a fan, or are you going to turn your back?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Still going to be a fan, because he's just going to talk even that much more trash. He'll probably just start talking to trash about Dana White and the UFC. And
like, I'm starting my own thing.
I think he gets I think he, my own.
For a minute there, I thought you referred to him as
my
Irish
own gloves.
Jesus.
Yeah.
An Irish who?
I thought Clay referred to him for a second there as Irish Jesus.
No, oh. he probably refers to himself as that.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a picture of him on Facebook where he had, it's on like his wall. Mm-hmm. It's a picture of him and it says, I think it says vegetables. And it's one side, it's like him all ripped and like skinny. And the other side is like upcoming fight for this fight. And it says steak. And he's like still really cut, but much bigger.
Yeah.
And
Trump steaks, hopefully.
Well, this is what I'm interested in.
You're getting ready for a fight. Nothing better.
Did they do the official weigh-in yet? They had the press conference.
No.
So I'll be interested to see what McGregor weighs in at. Because this guy, it's 170. I mean, and when Dana White booked the fight, the guy was at like 165. And he said, I can't make it to 160. And then McGregor said, we'll make it 170 then. Right. Fine, do what you want. My question is, what's McGregor weigh right now?
I'm sure he's on point. He's not going to.
You think he's at 145 right now?
No.
He's probably at like 160, right?
I'm sure he's probably like 165, maybe plus.
Yeah, he's got to be there.
He's got to be close to things on Saturday, so he's got to be right there.
I'm thinking that's why he's eating all the red meat.
He has been the whole time.
Yeah.
He knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
The other guy, I don't know, I saw a thing today where Diaz kind of is like, well, if I get beat, and is kind of doubting himself, and he's like, I get paid anyway, so he's taking that.
I already watched the press conference.
Approach.
Mm-hmm. I already watched the press conference where the two of them were like standing face to face. And the Diaz guy kept like, kind of like
flinching.
He's done. I mean, McGregor just was like smiling, kept looking at him, and Diaz would like look at him, but like kind of had his head
down.
It's
literally going to be like watching like a dog and a squirrel.
I don't know. You don't know.
I think
you
it's going to be a good fight for one round.
You know what though? Remember,
it'll go more than one round. He won't knock him out.
Remember when we were kids growing up, and everyone was like Tyson. Then people would be like, right before a fight, you know, you'd hear your dad's talking. They go, it might be a good fight. Then he'd knock him out in 20 seconds.
Yeah, you'd be up you'd still be pouring yourself a Pepsi, and it'd be over.
Yeah, like, it's over.
You got back to the TV. What happened?
Oh, yep.
It's already over.
Imagine the guys who went and were parking, and it was over.
So now what? The fight is pay per view, right? Mm-hmm. This fight.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Where is the fight? There's a fight in Vegas?
Yes. At the new MGM deal.
Okay. All right.
It's going to be a hoot.
It really is.
So it's going to be something
to
see.
Do you think the Irish will invade Vegas again like they did last time last fight?
They already have.
Yeah. Yep. I think it's going to be something else.
We're right around the corner from St. Patrick's Day.
Yes.
This weekend, Forest Park Parade. Bill, are you excited?
Big deal. It's going to be a workout for me. But,
yep. So for our listeners tonight, you go out over the Street of Dreams on Madison Street.
Go see NBA. Bill.
You can see me at. I'll take the stage at 9 o'clock at Duffy's.
That's gonna be.
I'll probably be there around. I'll probably be there around 8 to kind of survey the crowd and figure out who the jerks are before I get behind the bar.
He'll be the guy with the weight belt on.
Don't snap your fingers at Bill. You don't like that.
I'll tell you one thing. I wish I had a gold UFC belt to wear. Like behind the bar and be like, and then just wear like a shirt that says McGregor on the back of it.
No shirt.
What would be great is if you did it shirtless and you had somebody give
a temporary gorilla
tattoo
on my chest.
I could probably provide both those things for you in the next 24 hours.
That actually would be really funny because I do have the beard going, so I could get the I could shave my head and do the McGregor look. Put the UFC belt on. put the Irish flag like over my, just walk into the bar.
Every time
like,
you use the bathroom, punch the door. Yeah. The Duffy's, punch it in.
Oh, man.
That was what, actually, you talk about the Irish flag. So that clip that went viral of McGregor is, he's been in Los Angeles for like the last week prepping before the fight, just
right.
kicking it and laying back. And there is a video on the internet. I encourage our listeners to go out and check it out. TMZ, our buddy, what's his name? Howard Levin? Harvey Levin.
Harvey. Yeah. Harvey. I'm a lawyer.
He's always drinking the big gulp.
Yeah.
He broke this story.
He also does the People's Court interviews.
Yes,
after
he does.
Does right. he really?
Yes.
Yeah. Never even know. Wow.
He's multifaceted.
Yep. Anyway, there's a clip of McGregor in a Rolls Royce convertible. Pounding down somewhere, it looks like Santa Monica, kind of.
No, he's in like Huntington Beach, right?
Hermosa.
Hermosa Beach.
Yeah, he's in Hermosa Beach.
That's where he lives, I think, during when he's training before a fight.
He lives in Dublin.
He lives. Yeah. But when he comes to the States,
Dad, be quiet.
That's where he stays. Yeah.
So he's in this pimped out car. I think he's got his wife with him or somebody like that, mm-hmm. and a bodyguard. But he's
that's
rolling
the
down.
The other guy is actually a videographer for the UFC. That's a pretty cool job. He follows him around.
That's an awesome job.
He goes everywhere with him.
Yeah. Anyway. So anyway, he jumps in this Rolls Royce with him, and they're driving down the street, and they drive by an apartment complex, and they see an Irish flag draped from
a balcony
with a Conor McGregor cutout.
Cardboard
cutout.
Life-size cutout.
And you hear the guy yell to the car, like, "You're going to get him, Conor!" Like, how the guy knows it's Conor McGregor,
says,
I don't
you're
know.
You're the man.
Yeah, he goes, you're the man.
The gym that Conor trains at is right around the corner from that guy's apartment. So he sees him every day. Yeah, right. Go back and forth.
Okay.
But he did he put up the decorations years ago when he first started fighting. So it's just a coincidence that he lives there.
So yeah. Conor McGregor sees him, he's like, I'm going to come up to you. And so then it cuts to the guy
There's a lot more expletives in there.
Yeah. Oh, tons. Tons of swearing.
Uh-huh.
But he goes up to the guy's house and the guy lets him in the house. And
in this little apartment.
It's great.
It's amazing.
And what does the guy have? He goes, "I got everything, man." He's like,
I'm shaking. Right
yeah,
now. He's like, I'm a baby. Like, I look like a baby.
But how about where he pulls out the Reebok shoes? He goes, I got the Conor Reebok shoes. And Conor McGregor goes, "I don't even have these."
Yeah,
these are awesome.
Hey, be careful. McGregor could walk in here at any moment and be like, "What's up, lads?"
Yeah, it'd be great.
Yeah.
Well, that'd be awesome.
That's the highlight. That guy will never forget that the rest of his life.
I want to throw this out again to the Plumbers Union. And the Southside Parade Committee. Conor McGregor wins this weekend. Send him an invite to come to the parade.
Grand Marshal.
And be the honorary Grand Marshal
for
the day. People will go ape nuts. It'll be great press for the parade. And it'll be good
for Irish-American relations as well.
It'll be great for the diaspora of the country.
That's
absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
In a time of turmoil.
That's right.
Enough
McGregor!
Be quiet!
McGregor!
I don't want to hear McGregor's name one more time.
All right, so while you guys are listening to this on the air, you know, you still have time to order that fight and see Conor kick some butt in a couple hours.
It will be on. It'll be on late, so you got plenty of time. It's even if you are late, just watch it.
All
just
right,
get it
for sure.
While we're in the mood, I'm going to play a song here.
Oh yeah, what?
It's themed around fights.
Oh yeah,
you may remember it from our childhood.
Oh really?
All right, and it's called "No Easy Way Out."
Oh,
love.
No easy way out for Diaz. That's no, for sure. No.
That was from Rocky IV, song by Robert Tepper, big household name. Did you get that Tepper album?
When Tepper's playing tonight.
That's my Chicago
when
Ohio
you did the,
guy.
When you did I love the, him. When you said the Rocky album, I thought maybe you'd play a little Jim Peterick from Survivor, Chicago
yeah.
boy.
Yep.
Boy. I got a nice tune for the end of the show that'll get everyone nice and ready to go for
okay.
the big
sounds
fight.
Good. Hey, do you... did you think that Stallone got robbed on the Oscar?
I was really pulling for him. I think everybody was. Who won? Mark Rylow or I hope I'm saying
Bridge
that.
Of Spies guy.
Yeah.
That's okay.
All, that's what he'll be
I
known
do
as.
Want to see Rycliffe. That, though. Have you, has
no,
that,
I
have
haven't
seen
it.
Rylance. Mark Rylance.
Have you seen correct. Bridge of Spies?
Hey, yo, Rylance.
Right, let me talk to you for a minute.
I want to
round.
I want to ride home.
I want two rounds with you.
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of bummed for Stallone. I can see his beef where he was like, hey, you know, he pulled me out here.
Hold on. Again, the guy's got $100 billion. Who cares?
Yeah, yep. Exactly.
Who cares? He'll still be tan tomorrow.
God, he looks interesting these days. It looks like someone took a boulder, like a stone rock,
uh-huh.
and put, like, flesh on it. Like or like painted it flesh colored, like with that flesh colored crayon you
How,
used to get.
These guys got
to
stop. You got to stop fighting your age. Like, yeah. It's okay to be old.
I know. Stallone, like...
It just looks creepy.
His muscles are
There's guys
bulging.
Around here
he's
that
got,
do it.
He's got, like, the veins and everything going. Like, it's pretty bizarre.
Schwarzenegger's the same way. He looks the same, you know, same kind of deal.
He's going to be in my cabinet.
Oh, gosh. He's going to be Secretary of...
That's frightening.
Ladies and gentlemen, Secretary of Defense, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
The Terminator.
I call him the Terminator.
He's the Secretary Terminator. Of Defense. And then what, Jesse the Body Ventura is what, the Secretary of State?
I don't know. Everybody from Commando. We're getting everyone from Commando in office.
Trump's like, back in the day when I financed these films that these two guys were in, yeah. they showed me a light.
I got American Ninja coming in too.
Yeah. Michael Dudikoff's going to be in the.
I wish.
No, it's.
Whatever happened to Dudikoff?
Michael Dudikoff.
Dudikoff's probably doing better than all three of us.
See, was it, wait, was it American Ninja or is it Kickboxer?
Remember Tim Burke? Tim Burke was obsessed with American Ninja.
Yeah, he was.
He's like, this movie's amazing.
And that was the height of karate films. Karate was real big.
The karate genre.
And I think that the karate, like karate has now just, now it's just UFC. People just want
to
fight.
I would like to see the Oscars during like the karate years. Was it all karate movies nominated? Was there any karate movies nominated? Did Karate Kid win an Oscar?
What exactly are the karate
years? The karate years.
Like 78 to 88.
Man, I really can't tell you about what was going on in Hollywood.
Sumner Redstone,
the
he had his heyday in studio filmmaking during the karate days.
It was the karate years, the BMX years.
Yeah.
The Guns N' Roses years.
There was like the westerns with, you know, modern music.
Yeah.
Westerns, yeah, that's your Young Guns with electric guitar.
Yeah, which I love.
The karate years.
It's called the '80s.
Yeah, it was amazing. Yeah. And then the high school, you know, the high school romps.
My daughter's obsessed with karate all of a sudden. It's a real kid thing to get into
karate. I was
into
karate as a kid, and then I went to karate, like, I signed up for it. I'm like, this is terrible.
I know, and then you meet a grown man, you go, what do you do? Oh, I'm into karate. You go, you don't have too many friends, do you?
I didn't do karate. I did do judo. Did you used to go?
Yeah, you used to be a judo guy.
Did you ever go down to the CAA for the judo stuff?
That's like Japanese wrestling, right?
Kind of, yeah, but it's like there's throws and there's kicks in it, but it's more, you're right, it's more grappling.
See, you're ahead of your time. You probably were.
It's more UFC type.
You were the next
judo.
Conor McGregor. You just didn't know it.
Oh,
you were
man.
Too busy eating Doritos.
Yeah, but a lot of the judo stuff is based
crush.
On
in a smoky room.
Yeah, things haven't changed.
God bless.
I still love those things. You know.
Yeah, the Karate Kid obviously was what propelled the entire karate craze.
The karate years. Yeah.
Karate.
And Bruce Lee, obviously. You know.
Yeah, Bruce did all right.
And Chuck Norris and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar appearing in those films.
Yeah.
You know, it's great stuff.
And then you had spinoffs like, you know, Renegade, the TV show. That was like karate. He did a
speaking
lot of karate.
Of,
martial
he
arts.
Did?
Seagal was a martial arts guy.
Speaking of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, you just reminded me of something. Yesterday, well, obviously we're taping here on Wednesday, but yesterday, the actor George Kennedy died.
That's right, great Irish American actor, Dragline. Yeah.
And that's why you said Abdul-Jabbar. I thought of was he an airplane?
Yes.
Yeah.
Great film.
A lot of the Naked Gun films he was in.
Who would have thought? No, see, that was the funny thing when that movie came out with Leslie Nielsen and George Kennedy. When those two were paired up together, it's kind of an awkward pair. Like nobody ever. I think predicted that they were going to be such a great comedy team together.
Right.
It's an interesting thing. Great career for George Kennedy. 92, great life. 91,
you know,
92.
And for, you know, the funny thing is somebody did a comedy bit. I think it was Conan O'Brien did a bit where he was like going to Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
And he's talking to him again. He's like, I understand you know the Kennedy family. And he's like, I know the Kennedys well, you know. And all of a sudden it just shows a picture of actor George Kennedy at this guy's house. Like, the audience thinks he's obviously talking about the Kennedys from Massachusetts, but...
Yep.
Yeah. And then he says, another fine Irish-American, he shows a picture of Shaquille O'Neal to these little kids in the classroom. It's a great clip. You can YouTube it. I don't know why, but that's... For some reason, every time I think of George Kennedy, I think of that Conan O'Brien clip.
Yeah. What a nice nod to Conan.
Uh-huh.
George Kennedy's remembered.
But come on, Cool Hand Luke.
Yeah, oh yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, what a performance. Did he get nominated for an Oscar for that?
Yes, he did. He won an Oscar.
He won the Oscar. Wow.
That's right. Godspeed to George Kennedy. Let's take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we'll be back.
Putting your future in the hands of a lawyer can get personal, particularly in personal injury cases. You've got one shot at justice, so you're going to want a guy who thinks like you. Tom Gorman is Southside Irish all the way. He grew up in Holy Redeemer Parish, went to Brother Rice, and yeah, he got a ride to play ball at Notre Dame. Played on the undefeated 1988 National Championship football team. After a shoulder injury ended his career, Tom stayed on with the Fighting Irish for his master's in law degree. Tom won the American Jurisprudence Award for trial advocacy at Notre Dame Law School, and he's been a trial lawyer ever since. Tom's practice is devoted exclusively to personal injury and wrongful death. Jury's $1 million verdicts for his clients, but his focus remains on those families and their futures. Tom and his wife, Christine, have lived in Beverly for almost 20 years, and they're raising their 5 kids in Christ the King Parish, Brother Rice, Mother McCauley, and their oldest son is now at ND as well. Lots of folks have to deal with tragedy. It's good to know there's a guy out there you can count on who'll be in your corner to protect your family. You can call Tom Gorman directly at 312-345-7210 and tell him about your situation. Or go to the website, www.gormantriallaw.com. He's a good guy. There's no charge for the consultation, and you'll meet a new friend that's ready to fight for you and your family. Call Tom Gorman today at 312-345-7210 and tell him your story.
Ed Napleton's grandfather, Edward W. Napleton, opened his first automotive business in 1931 on Chicago's South Side. Today, the Napleton family operates more than 50 dealerships in four states. The Skinny and Hooley Show is proud to work with Ed Napleton Honda in Oaklawn, reaching out to our Irish-American community. Our friend Eddie Napleton treats the needs of each individual customer with paramount concern. He knows you have high expectations, and Eddie enjoys the challenge of meeting and exceeding those standards each and every time. So drop into Ed Napleton Honda in Oaklawn when you're looking for a new or used vehicle. Their experienced sales staff is eager to offer you a great deal on a great car. Go to EdNapletonHonda.com to browse their online inventory, schedule a test drive, and investigate financing options. Call Ed Napleton Honda in Oaklawn at 888-809-7851 or online at EdNapletonHonda.com or in person at 5800 West 95th Street in Oaklawn. And tell them Skinny and Hooley sent you, and you'll get that same old Southside Irish welcome that Eddie's grandfather started with way back in 1931.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today, available at your local grocery store.
Yeah, go get yourself some McCann's Irish Oatmeal, 12:40 a.m.
Yeah, you know what?
It's the Hooley Sooley. We're
back. If you were going to that Forest Park Parade, which is too late, but if you're going next Saturday to the downtown parade, I suggest having some McCann's Irish Oatmeal before you.
Oh, yeah.
You go hit that up.
Do it.
Over the break, we were talking a little bit about our engineer Mike reminded us that a big part of the karate craze was actually the TV show Kung Fu, starring the Carradine man.
Yeah.
Robert Carradine, I believe.
Was it Robert Carradine?
David. It was David.
It was David Carradine.
Yes. Which Carradine brother was Louis Skolnick from Nerds?
That's Robert
that's
Carradine.
Robert Carradine.
Yeah, Robert. See, that's Robert Carradine.
That's more my speed.
What a dynamic family.
Yeah. It's Skolnick. You'll always be a geek.
You don't want to know why, Skolnick? Because you're a geek. There's nothing you can do about it.
Those were some phenomenal films, by the way, those Revenge of the Nerds. But we're getting off of topic. We can talk about nerds forever.
All right, Raj.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Our topic is fighting. Kung fu boxing, not everything.
You know, it was a funny story. You brought that up. And when I was in eighth grade playing baseball in the Oak Park Pony Leagues, we used to practice over at Greenfield Park, and there used to be this guy. Now, we'd get there probably, I don't know, we'd get there at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, but there used to be this guy that would like be out in the outfield or like out like, you know, like by himself, and he had the long hair. He literally looked like the character Kane from Kane the Kung Fu Legend.
Right. Looked like Carradine.
Yeah, and he would be like, you know, he would be like meditating, and then like he would do some like karate moves or whatever he was doing.
It's called Tai Chi.
Yeah, okay. And
he was doing like karate in the air.
We would be like, that's Kane. That's got to be him. Like, we were joking, but then we're like, maybe they're basing the TV show off a guy like this. Is that Kane the Kung Fu Legend? Mm-hmm. So after a while, it became a running gag that we'd be like running laps, be running by, and we'd be like, Kane! Kane! Screaming at him.
Yeah.
And he would turn and wave to us. And we would just go crazy.
He loved it. He was like,
and then we'd try and hit line drives at him for the next 45 minutes.
No, I'd usually leave the outfield probably.
Deflecting line drives.
His session only lasted probably about 15 minutes.
His session.
You know,
why would you taunt a guy practicing karate is my question.
Because we were 13-year-old
kids. He's not practicing karate. Karate, I believe it's pronounced, but he's doing Tai Chi. It's a little bit different. It's kind of like doing yoga.
Well, he's in better shape than a bunch of punk grade school kids who've been smoking cigarettes all summer.
Mm-hmm. Probably.
Baseball.
I don't know.
Just had their
first
six-pack.
I had a good year that year, I think.
Hey, you hit 480 that year.
It was because all that good feng shui,
chi.
That has nothing. Tai Chi. That's some chi.
That guy put some chi on you. That's why you did good. That's why you're hitting everything out of the park that year.
That's right. You know why, Skolnick? Because you're a geek.
Yeah. Skolnick.
Now I got nerds on the brain.
Sorry.
You know they were going to remake the Nerds films?
No. Don't.
Stop with the remakes.
Don't. They're already doing Enough. Ghostbusters. I think it's a sacrilege.
They already did Point Break, you know what? Which is sacrilegious.
They did do Point Break, and
I kind of want to see Point Break.
People went crazy in like Japan for it or something like
Fine.
That. You know?
No.
Remake Rocky.
Yeah, go ahead. Rewrite.
No,
they already did.
No, yeah,
it's called Creed.
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
Bill.
Yeah.
You just mentioned the Ghostbusters remake. Are you excited about that? They're going to tease the trailer pretty soon.
I don't know. I mean, come on. You're never going to.
Directed by Paul Feig, who directed Bridesmaids.
Yeah, all those women in it are funny, but I mean, we'll see. I mean,
it won't
I don't
work.
Know. There's
something.
You don't
think it's a tanker, Clay?
Tank.
Okay.
There was something about the chemistry between all those actors in Ghostbusters that, mm-hmm. you know, maybe it was because Aykroyd had worked with Murray on SNL and Ramis had both worked with them in the past as well at, you know, Second City. And then you had, I mean, I don't know, there was a dynamic between the three of them that, for me, you know, it seems unparalleled if you try to bring these girls,
you
know,
you
to compare
it.
It to,
it's
you
it's
know.
Like trying to remake Tommy Boy with Seth Rogen and Frankie Muniz.
Well, no, it's not.
I'll put it this way.
This is a female version.
Do you want to see a version?
Think,
you know,
about,
do you want to see
think
the
of a new idea? How
yeah.
about that?
No,
you know, have them work at a golf course, Caddyshack. Have them work in the.
No, we're like, yeah, this is what they do in Hollywood brainstorming sessions. No, maybe they'll
what
work at a golf
maybe
course.
Maybe two. Maybe we could have two girls that sing a lot of blues together that live in Chicago.
A golf course in
you know?
Outer space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can remake the go. Blues Brothers too. You know, I don't know.
Well, leave it alone.
Let me ask
Here's
you
the
this.
Other thing, though. I mean, who directed Ghostbusters? Ivan Reitman, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, there was something about the backdrop of New York City in that film that made it, you know, unique.
Well, this one's going to be based in New York as well, but you're right. Also, there was something about the time that made you think that something like the Ghostbusters actually could be a thing.
Yeah.
Do you believe in ghosts?
I do.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Have you ever seen one?
No.
Bill?
I'm going to say, yeah, I believe in ghosts. They're out there.
And you got a ghost story for our listeners this evening?
Man, I got plenty of ghost stories.
Let's out with one.
Actually, I do remember having one
mm-hmm.
that was like significant. So when we moved to Elmwood Park in 1985.
Yeah. And Elmwood Park ghost.
Yeah, that was old Elmwood
oh,
Park
yeah,
ghost.
Oh, yeah, those old Elmwood Park ghosts,
the ghosts
man.
Of
hey,
Elmwood Park. There's lots of them.
They're scary, too, let me tell you.
They're old gangsters.
No, well, I'll tell you what. So
where's my money, Bill?
There was this house. My parents rented this house. And I'm from a family, like, you know, they obviously own, like, nobody else lived there but us.
This
but,
was before you get a potato chip caught in your ear for 22 years, right?
Yes. This is
pre-chip.
No, this is probably after the chip in the
it's
ear,
post-chip.
But I mean, we had been living there a while, but I'll never forget, like, they had, you'd be on the kid playing on the block and stuff, and all these kids, but apparently there was a woman named Annie.
That's right.
Who lived in this house before it had been somewhat remodeled. And they'd be like, you live in Bad Annie's house. I'd be like, what? And apparently Bad Annie died, okay?
Yeah, but, you can't be a ghost and be living.
But it was, yeah, but it was like. But
I'm
like,
a ghost!
Boom. But I remember being somewhat, I remember being
job,
somewhat freaked out about, like, because people would be like, that house could be haunted, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the house that you live in could be haunted. Bad Annie lived there, and she was, you know, I was like, what?
But we never heard about what made her so bad.
No, I just was, either when she was just, like, mean to these kids or what. I was like, why is she bad? No one would ever release that information to us.
Maybe she was an MMA
And I remember
fighter.
Even walking, I remember walking in the basement Holly there
home.
And being like,
Grandma home.
You know, getting, just as a kid, you get kind of creeped out in the dark. You're like, maybe they're talking about Bad Annie or whatever, you know. But I also remember being in, you know, in my bedroom and having, like, a nightmare and mm-hmm. vaguely remember, like, waking up and, like, thinking that I saw, like, this bald man that looked like Mr. Clean, like, standing over my bed, like, giving me a dirty look. It's been I've had this memory.
What?
For 20
Was it Dana White?
Years.
Of the UFC?
No. So have I seen a ghost? I don't know. Maybe he was a ghost. I don't know who he was. It happened for, like, a split second. It freaked me out.
Yeah, I always envisioned, I know exactly, I know the Bad Annie story well. I always envisioned that Bad Annie was, looked like, do you remember the library scene in Ghostbusters at the beginning?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
The woman goes, you know, shh. Yeah. Ray, would you come over here for a minute, please?
Right.
You never had any Bad Annie experiences?
No, I never spoke to Bad Annie, never had a word with her. But I'll tell you, for years when I was tending bar at Kevel's, I had a lot of supernatural activity happening.
Tell me something.
Yeah.
For instance, ASCAP, we got in a little trouble with them recently, but we had a stereo system at Kevel's. We just play music right off the stereo, right?
Uh-huh.
Anyway, you could see the volume button, and I'd be in Kevel's alone at night, and there wouldn't be anybody there, and I could the music would rise in volume, would get really loud, and then go really low. And you could see, now I this is no joking.
Right.
I could see the knob moving on the stereo. Oh, wow. And also, the lights would flicker all the time, and occasionally I would hear my name yelled, Patty!
No.
And I'd look around, and I'd go, nobody here, you know? You can ask Frank Kevel. If you go to 7228 Circle Avenue in Kevel's, get yourself a nice hot meal. It's a good spot. Frank will tell you a few ghost stories, because he also has had these things happen to
him. Well, that's a legendary establishment, and there's more to that story about why people think that there could be ghosts.
That's a very
there.
Old building that's seen a lot of
well over 100
years and trouble. And,
there's been a few murders in there.
Yeah.
Machine Gun Jack McGurn had a couple of his guys.
You
got to
get Zach Fagans over there, the guys from Ghost Hunters.
Zach Fagans?
Ghost Adventures.
Oh, man. Did we talk about
those guys
that
Irish?
I love those guys.
Did we remember talking about them? Was it last year?
They are
year?
Not Irish, I believe.
Was it last
year? Irish Ghost Hunter.
Was it last year on the show
they did
that
do,
we were talking about that
They
once?
Did do an episode in Ireland, though. That was amazing.
I'm
was
sure. Like, Banshees.
Crazy.
Was it like, are you hearing anything like, now?
Is that a ghost? Oh, no, it's just you, Eric? Okay. you dropped something?
What show was that? Was that on A&E?
It's Ghost Adventures. It's on. I don't know what show it's on. I don't know what channel it's on now. But it's on Travel.
I'm
Travel
trying
channel.
To speak to you. I remember that.
Some
like,
stuff they do is pretty crazy. I mean, I don't
well,
know
that was
kind of
like Medium.
You know, though, you talk about the bar. Like people talk about the ghost stories in bars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, me and Keith Jaworski were attending bar one night at Duffy's, and he claims. Because we have it too, where the lights will flicker every now and then.
Maybe just,
but
have,
he claims
bad electricity.
He claims he goes no. Well, we do, I think. But he goes. There's a ghost here. I go, what do you do? Because we both did get kind of creeped.
He knows right. There's a ghost here. I can feel it.
I go. I got kind of creeped out one night. And he goes. We think it's this guy. Like names some old regular. I'm like, really? He goes, yeah. I go. Well, what do you do? He goes, I just put a couple highlights on the bar. I open up a couple highlights and put them on the bar, and then everything like.
And by the end of the night, they're empty.
Yep.
Lie. Yep. Get out.
He said one night he went down and put the money in the basement or wherever we put it. He said he came back up. That high life was empty.
Yeah.
Now,
was
one
like,
of
I'm
the
out
things,
here. No, I'm joking.
Some creeps hiding in the bathroom.
One of the things I
ran out. Yeah, it's like some drums like, quick. Oh.
Yeah. I've always been intrigued by the idea that ghosts are like spirits that didn't get to go to heaven or something like that, and that they're angry. They're trying to get some message across, right? They're stuck in limbo here, right. And that's why they're ghosts. Right. And then you hear stories of like, is there a ghost here? Yeah, but we're fairly certain it's a dog or something like that. It's an animal.
It's a nice ghost.
What makes a dog so anxious that it can't go to, you know, I thought all dogs went to heaven. Sh-ba-dum-bum.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Does it? Are there distressed animals that become ghosts somehow?
Yeah, what about the dog who, you
ghosts
know,
are the Gozerian.
What about the dog who,
in
bites,
Ghostbusters.
Who bit the little kid? You know, he's not going to heaven.
Well, I guess you're right.
Yeah. What about the spaz dogs that are pooping on everything?
I don't know. There's,
yeah, there's good dogs and bad dogs.
There's a lot
dogs.
Of bad dogs out there, man.
A lot of bad dogs out there.
See, Clay, now there's your idea. You had a film that you used to pitch to me called Pack.
Love it.
Which was about a bunch of rabid dogs.
Let me throw down the plot for you.
All right, let's go. Let's hear it again.
There's a dog fighting ring in the outskirts of Chicago. And then the
Cook County area.
The dogs that lose are released into the forest preserves.
Yeah.
So then they form this group of wild dogs and they terrorize the neighborhood. It's a horror movie.
Yeah. I know, but like, what woods are they in? Are they in, like the George
Thatcher
Dunn
woods, man.
The Thatcher
bridge,
woods, the Stroger woods,
North and Thatcher,
okay.
North and First Avenue.
Yeah, they're in the woods,
right across from Kitty Land.
Sure.
To make it even more terrifying.
No,
I think
we had a lot of great master plans for this. We wanted before the late great Dennis Farina was gone. We wanted Farina to play the detective that was haunting
the
dogs.
Well, eventually there's a unit forms of like seven psychos and they go try and hunt the dogs.
Right.
They're like ex-Marines.
Boy, now that you think about it.
A tow truck driver.
The
tow truck drivers know how to catch wild dogs,
The backdrop of Kittyland is pretty good. You know,
dude,
like
I'm telling you, this
you
movie
just,
would scare.
You know what I just had like a flashback of is like just like the Lost Boys, where like all the people at the carnival. Can you imagine like all the kids at like Kitty Land, just like a pack waiting to attack.
All you see
is
the eyes in the woods of the
right.
of the dog.
Like their eyes come right over like the Triton College sign.
I thought we
run Fifth Avenue.
Did we write something into the script where there was like a horse whisperer type guy who was like could whisper to the dogs? It was like a Steven Seagal or DMX was going to play him or something like that.
You're a nice dog.
You're a good dog.
Hey, stop being mean to these people.
Yeah.
No, but we can throw that in. Let's do that. Let's get back on the, you know, let's have our meetings.
And, ladies and gentlemen of the Irish community, we are looking for funding for PAC. We'd like to make the movie. It's going to Indiegogo it in 2017.
PETA won't mind at all.
Who's PETA?
The animal protection
agency. Oh, I thought you were talking about PETA bread lady from Guitar Fund when we were growing up.
She won't either.
I think we've talked about her on the program.
I don't think the animal rights people would let the movie go through.
Hey, you showed me, by the way, speaking of old old stories or whatever, you showed me, because you're an artist.
I am.
You showed me a group of drawings.
A collection, Bill.
Yeah, a collection of drawings of all the characters from the Gossage Grill.
That's correct.
The old haunt that we grew up hanging out at throughout grammar school and high school.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And there were a lot of cast of characters. And I'll tell you what, for all you Oak Parkers or River Forest or Galewood or Elmwood Park, Chicago guys, the whole deal.
Yeah, everybody knows
anybody
that.
Who's
the
been
window
there,
room.
Yeah, the window room. Anybody who'd been there and experienced it.
North and Harlem.
Knew any of these people. These are some pretty good drawings.
Maybe
and,
I'll post a few on the page.
Trying to get Clay O'Brien and publish those because they're nice. I think that they would make a really cool little...
Thanks for the teaser.
Yeah. I mean, he showed me it tonight, and I was like, no way.
See, now we got St. Patrick's Day coming up right around the corner. This is a Halloween episode that just happened.
I don't know. I guess so.
Right. You know what? St. Patrick's
Day. Yeah, we're like 6 months apart. You know, like we're
St. Patrick's Day is very much like Halloween these days.
Yeah, there's a little bit of both.
Get
a lot of goofiness going on. Mm-hmm. It's just, yeah. I mean, I'm having not drank for 10 years, St. Patrick's Day is kind of more of a. I focus it around my kids now, and it's
sure,
not really,
you should. Oh, I'm excited for it, actually, to tell you the truth. I'm starting to get the Jones.
I'm excited for the Northwest Side Parade. That's going to be a hoot.
Do you know what day that is, Clay?
I believe the 13th.
Yeah.
So that would be, what is that, Saturday?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's always a good time. The weather really doesn't matter. It's been freezing.
It would be the 12th. Saturday is the 12th.
Okay, so the 13th is Sunday. Yeah, I think you're right. I think they do the
Maybe
Northwest
it is
Side the same
it is a
day
Sunday
as the
parade.
South Side Parade.
Right. No, the Northwest Parade is a Sunday,
right.
I believe.
All right.
Yeah.
Are you taking your kids to any parades, Pat?
We'll see about that.
Yeah. Weather permitting.
Weather permitting, yeah. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll wrap this episode.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today. Available at your local grocery store.
Putting your future in the hands of a lawyer can get personal, particularly in personal injury cases. You've got one shot at justice, so you're going to want a guy who thinks like you. Tom Gorman is Southside Irish all the way. He grew up in Holy Redeemer Parish, went to Brother Rice, and yeah, he got a ride to play ball at Notre Dame. Played on the undefeated 1988 National Championship football team. After a shoulder injury ended his career, Tom stayed on with the Fighting Irish for his master's in law degree. Tom won the American Jurisprudence Award for trial advocacy at Notre Dame Law School, and he's been a trial lawyer ever since. Tom's practice is devoted exclusively to personal injury and wrongful death. Sure, he's won $1 million verdicts for his clients, but his focus remains on those families and their futures. Tom and his wife, Christine, have lived in Beverly for almost 20 years. And they're raising their 5 kids in Christ the King Parish, Brother Rice, Mother McCauley, and their oldest son is now at ND as well. Lots of folks have to deal with tragedy. It's good to know there's a guy out there you can count on who'll be in your corner to protect your family. You can call Tom Gorman directly at 312-345-7210 and tell him about your situation. Or go to the website, www.gormantriallaw.com. He's a good guy. There's no charge for the consultation, and you'll meet a new friend that's ready to fight for you and your family. Call Tom Gorman today at 312-345-7210 and tell him your story.
Big Guy Sausage is located at 7021 Roosevelt Road in Berwyn, right across from DeJules. We serve blue-collar gourmet food. That means Italian sausage, Polish sausage, Chipotle sausage, bratwurst, hot dogs, burgers, Italian beef and sausage combos, prime rib sandwiches, bacon-wrapped cheddar brats. Hey, what else you want? We got it. You ain't gonna leave here hungry. We're right down the street from Fitzgerald's. Come on by Big Guy Sausage after the Hooli's Hooli or before. Or call 708-317-5213 and we'll have it delivered or ready for pickup. Ask anybody who eats here. It's awesome. Big Guy Sausage on Roosevelt Road in Berwyn. Big Guy Sausage, sorry, we don't serve weenies.
Oh, yes.
Rockwell, somebody's watching me. Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody.
Right.
Just remember on St. Patty's Day.
I always feel like...
Someone's always watching.
Yeah.
When you've had your 12th Guinness, someone is always watching.
Somebody's always watching, that's right.
Yeah, it's been a good week. Go to Big Guy's on Parade Day and get your base going before you go out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They're doing he's going to have till us some corned beef.
They're doing
sure.
some amazing things at that place.
Yeah.
Every picture he puts up there, I'm like salivating.
I know.
I'm excited to get over there. Clay, you've got a song that you want to go out. Obviously, I want to thank our sponsors, McCann's Irish Oatmeal, Fresh Wave. Clay, I want to thank you again, Bill.
Thank you.
Oh, hey, you know what? Also, don't forget to tune in to The Crack with Cooney and Keene following this program.
That's right.
Gene Cooney and Kathleen Keene host the show out of the 5th Province at the Irish American Heritage Center. Tune in, listen to some great music.
That's right.
Good crack. And then afterwards, I think you can stick around for the session. So
That's right.
It's every Thursday at 7 o'clock at the Irish American Heritage Center to see the taping, or you can listen to the show right after this program coming up next.
That's right. Now, Clay, what's this song you want to play?
I have a song. It's an Irish song.
Yep.
It's called Gravel Walk by the Rogues.
And where did you come across these guys?
Just on my daily search.
There you go.
It's my car music, you know?
Uh-huh.
Just to get amped up for the day. So it's in a preamble to the fight.
Yep.
Tonight. So
Up McGregor.
Let's go. Everybody go. Let's go. We're going now. We're going. Ready?
Right.
We're going.
So this has been the Hooli's Hooli. See you next week.